Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kim Clijsters, yeah, she was my idol. Like, I wanted to be like...
But she was
Kim
a hardcore, Clijster. Mainly a hardcore player, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So was I.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello, Susanna here, and you're very welcome along to Word on the Street. If you're new here, which we very much hope you're not, every week we take a sporting topic that's dominating the headlines and we take it out to the public, and basically we bring all those opinions back into the studio and we chit-chat about them. And finally, thank God, finally we're doing rugby again. Brona's partying in the box there, our producer. So with the first test coming up this Saturday, there's only one thing we could be talking about. So this is episode 12... That's it. That's the title of the pod. Lions, Lions, Lions. I am here in studio with Eve.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
That really couldn't have been more rugby. That entire intro.
Fully. It's like they have the same chant for Leinster as they do for the Lions. It's just like shouted as loud as you can in a little bit of a sing-song tone.
Is there only one rugby chant?
Maybe. I feel like Munster are better at chants, actually. They have a lot of sing-songs.
They're very melodic people down there.
They are, actually. Cork fans in any... Well, not sorry. God, not Cork. Munster fans from anywhere in Munster, I feel like, are always good crack. I said that last week.
Speaking of Cork people, Rachel not in studio today.
No.
She's too busy she's too busy gallivanting around interviewing people for...
Throughout
Cork. She's been everywhere. And Tip.
Yeah, I was with her yesterday. We were down on the border of Cork and Tip, which was very interesting, ahead of the I was about to say All Ireland and I wanted to say hurling at the same time, so I went All Hurling. All Ireland. Oh my God, I can't do it. All Ireland Hurling Final. There we go. We got it eventually. But yes, she might pop on at some stage to give us her 2 cents into this whole topic. But until then, you're stuck with the two of us.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So this week's topic is all about the Lions and all about not... We're not really going to analyse the team and the team announcement, although that did come out today, with 8 Irish, I think, starting in the starting 15 and then a few more on the bench as well. A record-breaking amount of Irish in the starting team. But we're not going to analyse all that because you can get that across all our other pods, I'm sure. We're going to talk a little bit about what the public think about the Lions and how Irish people feel about it in general.
Because this was very interesting to me, not coming from any sort of rugby background. Like, I'm football. I'd be more likely to watch GAA, really, than a rugby match.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not very likely to watch any GAA at all.
football all the way.
Football all the way. Cricket, tennis. Sorry, guys. But this is an interesting idea to me, the Lions as a concept and what Irish fans think of it. Because, I mean, you are a huge Lions fan as well as being an Irish rugby fan.
Yeah, I definitely am. I don't know exactly where it comes from, but like a lot of Lions fans, Lions is just the tip top of rugby.
The pinnacle, sort of.
Yeah, in Ireland, in the Northern Hemisphere, I feel like the Lions is... I mean, I've never spoken to a player about it, but it feels like it's what they dream of making if they make that Lions tour, you know, career kind of complete. Tick.
Where it's kind of in football, it's very much maybe the national team. If you ask any of the Argentinian players who won the last World Cup, like that would be the pinnacle of their career.
Yeah.
Whereas in rugby, it's like, is a Lions cap more important or more meaningful than an Irish cap? It probably varies from player to player.
Yeah, I don't know about more meaningful, but I feel like as an achievement, like on the CV almost, it tops it all. But it's interesting, as fans, I was very curious to see what people thought, because in my small group of friends, it varies greatly. But I know people who will say Lions is number one, as in Lions is one, Ireland is two, Leinster is three.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like that big of a deal.
And I suppose for anyone who doesn't or is listening to this podcast fully blind, the Lions is players from Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England.
Yeah.
So there is that tension there, I suppose.
Well, this is the thing. It's such a bizarre concept, I think, to anybody who maybe isn't used to it.
It's very bizarre to me.
Yeah, that you could put two of the biggest rivals, especially, well, maybe Ireland and Wales back in the day would have been huge rivals, but these days, probably Ireland-England, maybe the biggest rivalry at the moment. You're putting them on the same team and saying, too bad, get along.
Yeah.
All the filth you said to each other on the pitch for the past year, 4 years actually, put it behind you. You're best mates now, like.
That's because it's kind of the thing with, say, club football. You have when they go onto their national teams, like that was a big deal. Why didn't England win any trophies, the football team, in the early 2000s? Because you had Man United and Chelsea players in the national squad who just hated each other. It's kind of like that on a different level and on another level where it's, you're just players of different nationalities. And it's like all of you guys who don't really play together at all ever.
Yeah.
Go and not only learn how to play together, but also beat all these lads down the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, and have to have that team camaraderie and buy into what the Lions is in order to be able to get over those rivalries, I think. But it's interesting because, you know, they're not used to it as well. Like, I think it was Ellis Genge at the first training camp. He's an English prop and he's now with the Lions. At the first training camp, he was saying, you know, on the pitch in the Six Nations, he had said some really bad stuff to Finlay Beelam, who's the Irish prop, because obviously they're scrummaging against each other. It gets really heated. And he was like, it's so surprising. He's such a great guy. Like, yeah, he's so lovely.
Yeah.
And it's like those things are just the fact that you have to switch mindsets so completely is kind of insane.
And I think for fans, it's that same sort of vibe of having to switch mindsets. So we were talking to people today and we asked, you know, how do you find supporting English players within the Lions setup?
And what about, like, is it hard to put the rivalries aside in terms of usually we hate the English, now suddenly we have to support the English? Is that hard?
You know, it's kind of like cross fingers behind your back, you know. You know, we still hate them.
But will you support them on the tour?
Yeah, I support the Lions, but yeah, you know, not the individuals.
Okay, so you're rooting more for the Irish players.
Of course.
Okay, and tell me, you went on the tour. I mean, I've never been on one. What makes it so special?
Just the amount of people coming together and having a good time and seeing the rugby and, you know, I think generally, you know, I'm kind of joking about hating the English. Like, that, when you're down there, everyone's, you know, supporting the same teams and it's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Sorry to any English listeners we might have. I don't actually hate you. I just think it is on the pitch.
It's an intense rivalry.
It is an intense rivalry. And he was kind of interesting. He sort of flipped sides halfway through his his little speech.
Well, I'm sure it's different when you're actually there. You can talk the talk about, you know, yeah, I'm not going to actually support the English players and the Irish team. And then, like, he was at an actual test in Australia.
Yeah.
Surely the emotion of an event will overtake you and you're going to support your team that you're there to support.
I think it does. And that's why I asked him, like, what is it that makes the Lions so special? Because I don't think, I mean, I will watch them all, but I don't think you truly understand until you go on a tour.
Mm.
And like he said, like, the fans unite, I think, in a really different way to even, say, the Irish at the World Cup last year. I think it is just something really special and unique and something you only get to do, you know, once every 4 years. You're also so far away from home and you see all these people in red, and like, I just think the connection is something completely different.
Rugby fans, I've found, they talk about this a lot, like the values of rugby and this kind of everyone coming together and unifying, and it's something that you don't see in other sports. So, I mean, you've not been to a Lions test, but I'm assuming
I would love to.
Yeah, you'd love to, because the atmosphere looks like it.
Well, I went to Argentina, but that wasn't a test.
Yeah, that was one of these. Now, okay, can you please explain to me what the difference is? Because I thought the Lions have been going on for ages, because all people have been talking about, but seemingly this week is only the first test.
Yes. So they have a series of pre-test matches, because you can imagine you're throwing together a bunch of people who have never played together.
Yeah.
And they obviously trained for a while, but they need time to get used to each other.
Yeah.
So what they always do on the tour is they'll play the local teams, but the kind of, so in Australia, it's the Super Rugby. That's the league over there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play all the Super Rugby, or a number of the Super Rugby teams, ahead of those tests against Australia.
So like pre-season friendlies, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to get used to each other, and also in order, I presume, to make the tour more worth it for the fans. I mean, if you're going all that way, you want to see a lot of rugby. Maybe you want to see more than just the three test matches.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I want to read out a comment that kind of goes along with that first clip about supporting English players in the rivalries. And this was Jimmy on Instagram. And he was very firm. He said, I don't want any part in cheering for any side that has Pollock, Marcus Smith, Itoje, Genge or Farrell playing for them. I hope Australia win 3-0. So obviously, he is very much Irish,
yes.
Not Lions.
That's intense. And then in response to that, we had a WhatsApp from Sarah, who said, there are 8 Irish players in the starting lineup for Saturday. This is a testament to their talent and is something to be really proud of. I might twitter on about hating England players, but it would never stop me supporting our own lads. Playing for the Lions is something that will be in their career highlights reel when they retire.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand both sides of it, but I do think you just put aside your hatred a little bit.
I mean, you'd have to. You'd have to if you're going to support, if you want the Irish players to do well and to support the Irish players. You can't have that without the English players alongside them, you know, pulling their weight and doing well.
Yeah.
Like we when we talk to people, there was this admittance that they would prefer the Irish players there, but not always at the expense of the English players. I mean, here's what someone had to say about preferring Irish players.
Watching Ireland play versus watching the Lions play, is it a different feeling? Do you like them equally?
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, I'd like supporting Ireland that little bit more. I think even when the Lions were here to play Argentina, there was a real feel of a lot more English, you know, sort of supporting and sort of fandom around the Lions than the Irish. I think, obviously, look, there will be a lot of interest in how they go this weekend. But I'd well prefer to just support Ireland, really.
That's interesting. I like supporting both. I also find myself bizarrely like cheering for players from the other nations during the Lions.
Really?
Yeah, I like, for example, Pollock. I have to bring him up because Jimmy was, you know, so angry at him, as are a lot of people. They don't like him.
Okay.
I love him.
Is he English? Yeah.
He's English. Yeah. And he's, you know, seen as that kind of arrogant character in rugby. He's young. I think he's 20 years old or something. He is a ridiculous talent. Like, he's a forward. He's hugely powerful, massive in defense. He can also, like, he's so quick. He can sprint the length of the pitch. He can also kick a ball. Like, his skills are insane. So I think he's chip and chased in every single game that he's played for the Lions, which the confidence is just ridiculous. And I think people don't like him because he's bringing something new to rugby that maybe some people don't see as aligning with the traditional values that the game has. So I think I was telling you this earlier. He does this kind of try celebration where he holds 3 fingers up to his neck, or he like pretends to shoot in a basketball after he scores a try, and he scores a lot of tries. Like, he is a ridiculous player, and people don't like it. And I think it's a really funny concept, because we were talking about on the pod a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, in this day and age, social media is like determining what sports are popular at the moment.
Very much so.
Yeah, and everyone's going on about how rugby is kind of dying off and we need to find new ways to keep the game interesting and to keep people going. You know, even you see the Aviva every weekend here, like, it's no atmosphere, not full, not in the same way. And I think these characters bring something extra to the game.
Well, I couldn't believe it when you were talking to me about this before the pod, and you were saying that there was controversy over him and how he celebrates. Because coming from a football background, that's just such a non-issue. It's incredible. Players have their own. Every player nowadays seems to have their own
the
unique
Cole
celebration.
Palmer shiver.
Exactly.
But like, that's what also goes viral on social media.
Yeah.
And you have so many eyeballs now on the Premier League. I mean, you did anyway, but it's to a different level these days.
It makes it very global. But also, if you are such a good player and you're scoring tries all over the place, if you're that good, you deserve to have a good celebration. You deserve to not brag about how good you are, but to celebrate how good you are. I mean, there was talk about this over the weekend. David Clifford, Kerry footballer, like, he had a brilliant game in the All-Ireland semi-final. And celebrated kind of arms out wide in Croke Park. And there were some kind of GAA dads who didn't like that. It's like, no, he is the best, one of the best footballers in the country right now. Why can't he celebrate? He is by far, I would say, the most recognisable name that we have maybe in GAA right now. You know, let him at it.
Yeah, I don't see the problem with it. I think it adds a new element to rugby. And to be honest, I wish he was in the 23 this Saturday. I'm putting it out there. I know people are going to hate me for it, but I love him. I think he's incredible on the pitch. I love the energy he brings to the pitch. And I just think, I don't know, I think it belongs in rugby, but I know there's a lot of people who disagree. Anyway, on that fact, so the test this weekend is against Australia. And I was telling you earlier that Australia are currently eighth in the world.
Yeah, which from even from my very limited knowledge of rugby doesn't sound great.
No, and there's been a lot of talk about whether that's put a dampen on the whole test series because the quality isn't there. So we asked a guy from New Zealand actually today what he thought about that and the test series this year.
Yeah, it's down, unfortunately. The competition in Australia ain't too good, so they're not like providing a good show for us to watch. Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Did you watch many of the pre-test games?
Yeah, I did. I watched all of it, actually. I had a few mates playing.
No way. Yeah. Oh, for which teams?
Playing for the AUNZ team. Yeah, they got smashed, though, so it's not good.
Okay, fair. And any last thoughts on the match this weekend? Any predictions?
Lions by 20.
RV. That was very funny, because at the end, he actually said, Australia are shit. But I didn't catch it on my mic because I was laughing too hard.
And he's like an authority on rugby, being a Kiwi.
Yeah. And he was playing, he's over here to play rugby.
Yeah, like he plays in a kind of one of the local clubs.
Yeah. And it was interesting, obviously, I don't know, I think there's a bit of a rivalry between Australia and New Zealand, but he didn't seem to be saying this because he doesn't like Australia. He was genuinely just like, there's not much hope for it being a competitive game.
It comes for a love of the game, I think, and wanting to see the highest quality rugby that you can. And I think that's been a lot of the coverage. I think working at Off the Ball, you're covering a lot of rugby, so I'm learning every day. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the rugby heads that we've got on talking have not been saying, you know, this is going to be a bad tour because Australia are not very good now. They're kind of saying, I want this to be a good tour. I want Australia to improve so that the next time the Lions rolls around and it's in Australia, because it goes every three, it's like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa.
Yeah.
And it rotates. So that the next time we're in Australia, we're going in and we're not expecting that it could be a whitewash.
Oh, yeah. And you want it, firstly, for the good of the tour, mm-hmm. so that it is entertaining. Absolutely. I agree with that. You also want it for Aussie rugby.
Of course.
I mean, it has been on the down hill slope now for a while with things like League, AFL just taking over. People aren't that interested in union anymore over there.
Okay.
And you want it to come back. I mean, for the good of the game, not just for the good of the Lions, just in general. And things like this can bring so many eyeballs, especially if they put it up to the Lions, which I do think, I mean, everyone's saying it, so I'm just kind of hopping on the bandwagon. But you do want them to be able to compete and for this to be a good game. I don't want it to be a whitewash. As much as I support the Lions, I want Australia to put it up to them.
Because you want exciting rugby at the same time.
100%. It is. Sorry.
No, because what I didn't know kind of that it was a rotating system between Australia, South Africa and New Zealand. I also didn't know that it was, this is just showing how much I don't know about rugby, but I wasn't familiar with the fact that it was only in the Southern Hemisphere.
Mm.
And is that something that maybe need, that's kind of what we were talking about. Is that something that needs to change? Is this an outdated idea that you just every now and then you pop down to the Southern Hemisphere to play a few test matches?
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com. This announcement is to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. You could be one of millions of drivers who may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, your deductible, and the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, protect your vehicle now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
Yeah, it's interesting because I heard on a podcast a couple of weeks ago someone suggesting that we should have it in France.
Mm.
And imagine the quality of the rugby playing across the French teams. You know, you play Bordeaux, you play Toulouse, some of those top clubs, and then you play the French team.
Yeah.
They would really put it up to the Lions. But it's interesting because I asked that same question to one of the guys we were chatting to on the street, and he had a bit of a different opinion.
Would you like to see a Lions tour in the Northern Hemisphere, say France, for example, or do you think that takes away from what the Lions is?
I think that would take away from what the Six Nations is, really, and like... Yeah, and I think it's what makes a Lions tour special is that you go to the likes of, you know, a South Africa or a New Zealand. I think, you know, look, Australia is obviously a great place to go as well. But as I said at the start, like it's because Australia have been where they are in terms of results and I suppose interest really in Australian rugby. Isn't really there from their own public. It's more AFL and rugby league over there. So, you know, maybe this Lions tour is the shot in the arm that the rugby union needs over there.
Yeah, I do understand his point of view. And he was kind of saying a similar thing to me about how maybe this will give a boost to Aussie rugby. But I just do think, you know, from a money point of view, how much easier would it be to go to France? I mean, where are the majority of Lions supporters? In England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales.
Yeah, for fans, like...
In the Northern Hemisphere. You know, how accessible would it be? And you saw the Irish fans at the World Cup in 23. The amount who went over. It was such a green wave. It was iconic. Imagine that times four.
I mean, the Aviva sold out.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't throw a stone in Dublin that day without hitting someone in a Lions shirt. But in fairness, a lot of... most people that I heard were English accents... A few Scottish accents, not as many Welsh accents.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems a lot more feasible and affordable. I know it's not in the kind of rugby culture to do a tour of the Northern Hemisphere. And I understand why people would say you're just doing the Six Nations again. But I don't know, maybe once.
Yeah, I do see that as a good point by him. I mean, we see them play France every year, all of these players, but never all together.
Yeah, that's what makes it like that's interesting or different.
Yeah. And I would love to support the Lions, but, you know, to this point, I haven't been able to afford to go to any of the countries, but have it in France or somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. I would 100% be there. Anyway, I do want to read out quickly before we move off this. David on Instagram made a really good point on kind of whether you support the Lions because of the players in it or just because of the sport. And he said, you know, you fundamentally follow a sport because it interests and entertains you. Lions tests are amongst the highest level in the sport, so I don't get a fan of a sport who doesn't like a high quality aspect. You watch to be entertained, and Lions tests are entertaining. And I just think that's such a good point. If you're a rugby fan, full stop, it shouldn't really matter who's playing. And maybe that's the problem with this tour and the fact that how we spoke about Australia are eighth, maybe the quality isn't going to be there. I mean, they've smashed every Super Rugby team they've played.
Yeah.
So maybe people aren't bothered watching for the rugby and then they don't really have, you know, the interest in because of the rivalries that exist.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of along the lines of what we were thinking also in terms of this is such an exciting thing for the sport. Mm. And then we were saying, OK, so you're getting together people who historically would be rivals, putting them into one team. Could that work for other sports? And we looked at GAA and we looked at football. So to talk about GAA, we of course need our resident GAA expert.
She's here. Is she here? She's here.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey lads, how are you?
Good, how are you? Where are you?
I am in God's country. I'm down in Cork.
How was your day? Did you get any interesting facets, any funny interviews?
Yeah, we did. We were down in Killa all morning, where the famous Cork and now GAA song of the summer was.
Oh, yes.
So we had some good crack interviewing people down in Killa GAA. Some great stories as well. If you've driven past Cork at all, down by Castle Martyr, there's a big Up Cork sign. So we got the whole history behind that and just getting a feel for All-Ireland fever in Cork, basically, all morning.
How excited are you now?
Still extremely excited. Also, shamelessly, still looking for a ticket. Hi, is anyone out there that wants to give me a ticket?
Somebody give Rachel a ticket. It's also her birthday on Sunday. So if we don't get Rachel to the All-Ireland final, she might collapse.
This could be your best or worst birthday ever.
Exactly. Yeah, it's got potential to make or break my year. And it's a big birthday too. So look, no pressure, lads. The weight of a nation and me personally is on you.
Come on, word on the street fans. Anyway, we want to play you a little clip, Rachel, because we were out this morning doing, you know, all the busy work here while you were gallivanting in Cork.
And yeah, thanks for that, Les.
We asked someone whether they thought Alliance concept, so, you know,
rivalries put on one team have to get along, whether it would work in the GAA. So listen here and give us your thoughts.
I feel like the rivalries run so deep in the GAA. Like, yeah. Could you imagine a Munster versus a Leinster football thing or something?
I couldn't imagine in my head Limerick, Clare and Cork players and even Tip players wanting to play with each other, maybe. maybe get to them before the Munster Championship, I don't know. Maybe get to that sort of combination. Yeah, it's hard. I think, it's so embedded into rugby and in terms of what rugby is and rugby values.
So what do we think, Rachel? He doesn't think it'll work. After our trip down to the border of Cork and Tip yesterday, I kind of thought maybe it would work. I mean, there you had people from three counties basically all playing together. Yes, they were rivals at the best of time, but they also all loved each other. Would they support a Munster team?
I think because they actually just have to live there all the time, you know? they've nestled on something really unique over in Aireglin where they have to play together with the club and club almost comes first. Initially, I would have said there's no way this concept would work. But the more I thought about it, like essentially, you've got players playing for their club and then they play for their county. So automatically you kind of have, it's not a Lions-esque, but you have players playing for like a broader team, say already in GAA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all fun and games now, All-Ireland final this Sunday, and everyone's going to be cheering up Cork. But about 10 days later, the club championship will kick off and everyone's going to be sworn rivals, sworn enemies again. So it already happens, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's when you're just trying to broach county bounds that it'll probably get a bit messy. But it's been a lot of talk, especially about Munster hurling, Munster championship recently. It would be an interesting way to put our money where our mouth is and say, yeah, the Munster championship is the best. Like, there's no way people can compete. I think football, it could be maybe more interesting than hurling because it'd be that bit more competitive. You know, you'd have a chance for every province to really compete. Whereas in the hurling, you're probably just looking at Munster dominating and competing with Leinster.
Yeah. Before we let you go, would you like to see it? Do you think you could support the Limerick, let's say, hurlers on a combined team?
I could get behind them if we were facing Kilkenny, if we're facing Leinster, you know? I'd always have it in me to root against a Leinster team. Don't worry.
Okay.
I just don't know if there'd be the appetite for it. If it was something that was only going to happen like the Lions once every couple of years, I'd just struggle to see if they'd really, after a club season, after a county season, if they could dig it out again. But I could get behind it, yeah.
Because there used to be an interprovincial competition called the Railway Cup, which has since kind of waned away and it's not a thing anymore. And it had kind of had its heyday in the 60s, 70s, where you'd get tens of thousands of people and then it kind of whittled down to nothing. So that, this could be something maybe that the GAA, if they kind of put time and money into promoting or investing, could be something interesting.
I mean, I would watch it, but I can understand rivalries run really deep in the GAA.
Yeah.
And like that lad on the street was saying, maybe they're just too deep. Like,
I don't think so. I think once you've got someone, a big enough rival to root against, then you're okay, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're, yeah.
There we go. That's a nice final word on the subject.
Yeah, Rachel, we'll let you go because we know you're very busy and we're going to move on to football. So I don't think you really want to be a part of it anyway.
No. Up Cork, lads. Thanks very
All
much
right,
for
good
having
luck.
Me. Don't do too much of a successful pod without me.
Yeah, we'll try our very best. All right, so we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I know you want to get onto football a little bit before we finish up.
I do. So I'm going to just... So we asked on this same topic. We
Why
kind
are
of
you giggling
asked,
already?
Because it's funny. We asked, would a Lions concept work in football? And the general consensus immediately was no.
Yeah.
And I think I understand...
Every single comment on the Instagram was just no.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand, really. You know, the Lions works very well because Irish rugby is both kind of the North and the Republic
already.
So there's that unity already in that, you know, we haven't, as we, I got an Instagram DM that said, we haven't even managed to have a Northern Irish and Republic of Irish football team that works together. Yeah. We're definitely not going to have one.
And I don't think we ever will.
No, but people love a hypothetical. So we asked, kind of, are there any Irish football players that would make a hypothetical Lions football team, Ireland, Scotland, Wales and Ireland and England. And we got some interesting answers. We got some serious answers, like some proper shouts, like Caoimhín Kelleher. Would he replace Jordan Pickford? I would say maybe. He'd definitely make the squad. That was a good one. Nathan Collins? Yeah, that's an okay shout. Evan Ferguson? I think he'd make the shout. He'd make the squad. He's a decent shout. Don't think he'd start over any of the England strikers right now. Like Harry Kane, definitely not. Marcus Rashford, probably not.
I couldn't tell you.
And then I'm
letting you go here because I have no idea who half these people are. But I will support you.
Then we had some, of course, the classic Declan Rice and Jack Grealish. The less said about that, the better. And I want to play a voice note from Mick.
We love Mick.
Friend of the pod, Mick. He's back. And he basically outlined who he thought would make this combined Lions squad.
I'm just going to say Robbie Brady perhaps would make it onto a combined team of England, Scotland, Wales and Irish players. If this was a thing and in situ back in the day, no question, Roy Keane, probably Niall Quinn, John O'Shea, perhaps. Dennis Irwin, and if you even go back further, like Mick McCarthy, John Aldridge. I think my argument on this would be, are former players and some like former players, Defo would. As it stands currently, I would only just really see Robbie Brady, I think.
I'll let you take over from there, but I do just want to interject. Mick is our number one fan at the moment, and he WhatsApp voice notes us every week. So if you want to be like Mick and you want to get your say in, please, please send us a voice note on 0879 180 180. We check them every week, so we will get it. And you can be a part of the pod.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
And as much as we love Mick, I'm really sorry, Mick. I'm going to have to disagree with you. Yeah. Robbie Brady. He's an interesting...
You were reading this out to the office earlier. Poor Mick. He was getting a bit slated. But anyway.
I just think Scotland, Andy Robertson, Wales, Ben Davies, England, Luke Shaw, Lewis Skelly, even Jed Spence. But no, he's a decent shout. And I fully agree with him about sort of the development of our players isn't good enough right now. And that if you had a vintage squad, oh my God, yeah, definitely loads of players will get in that. And I think there's nothing more than Irish people love than just naming good Irish athletes. If you go back to like the 90s, early noughties, in a football Lions team, Roy Keane, definitely. Dennis Irwin. My dad said Paul McGrath, I think, yeah. Decent shout.
You're niching.
You need
Brona,
a football
Brona,
knowledge.
What did she just do? Or something.
Paul McGrath.
There we go. She knows. She should be in here instead of me.
What is fascinating, though, is that a lot of the kind of serious shouts on the vintage side with Roy Keane and Dennis Irwin, and on the modern side, I think the most serious shout is probably Caoimhín Kelleher.
I do know him, actually. He's fantastic.
Is that it's not even necessarily which Irish players would make a combined England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland squad. We're just looking at people from Cork. It's only these Cork footballers who just are really...
Rachel would love this.
What is in the water down in Cork that they can consistently produce high-quality footballers? And why isn't it happening?
Every sport. I feel like Cork is just producing athletes.
Left, right and centre.
Left, right and centre.
But we were asking... as we were still going slightly back to the rugby. We were asking kind of about maybe a nation that isn't producing athletes in the quality that they used to. And this is Wales.
Yes.
And we were kind of asking about what it would be like for them to watch the Lions.
If you were a Welsh fan right now, with only two players on the tour, one's gone injured, now one's not in the 23, do you think you'd tune in? Like, say, if that was the case for Ireland, would you still watch the Lions if there were no Irish players in it?
I'd still watch it, yeah. But, you know, the Welsh Lions should probably stick to watching Wrexham or something.
Very quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, explain to me what Wrexham is.
So, Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, American celebrities, bought Wrexham Football Club.
Yeah.
Tiny in Wales. Made a documentary about getting them promoted and everything like that. And it's slightly become the butt of a joke, I guess, in football. It's very Americanized. It's very overproduced. Maybe the less said about Welcome to Wrexham, the better.
Okay. He was funny, though. The reason I asked that question, though, as well, was because I was listening to a rugby pod, the BBC Rugby Union Weekly, yesterday.
and they do a Nations pod, and they have a guy on called Gareth Rhys-Owen, who's a rugby commentator, and he's Welsh. And he was talking about how the Lions just really hasn't taken off in Wales this year because, you know, they only had two players on the squad in the first place. One got injured very early on, and now Jack Morgan, a lot of people are very angry at Andy Farrell online that Jack Morgan has not been selected in this 23. And he was kind of saying, you know, even before that, Welsh interest was limited in the Lions this year. Now it's going to be dead. There's going to be no excitement in Wales. And I just think, going back to the whole concept of, are we more invested in the Lions this year because there's so many Irish players on it? It's the opposite in Wales.
Mm.
And I do think, even though he said I would still watch it, I think a lot of Irish people wouldn't watch it if there were no Irish players on that team.
Yeah, I think I fully agree. Like, we're not in a position where we have to worry about that right now, but yeah, you never luckily. Know what the future holds. You know, if this, unless we consistently invest and produce quality players, you know, there's no guarantee we're always going to have this amount of players on the Lions. So,
yeah, I just think it does prove that it is probably nation over Lions for a lot of people. Like, even I'm going to tip this weekend with some girlfriends of mine, and I really want to watch the game. None of them want to get up in the morning and go watch it in the pub, even though, you know, they'd all watch every Ireland game in the Six Nations. But the Lions, not so bothered.
So our kind of word in the studio to wrap up the pod, that's your final take?
Yeah, I love the Lions. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know if it's number one, actually. It's probably equal to Ireland. I think there's something special about it that makes it really exciting every 4 years. And I think that's why people are so in love with it, for the people who are. But I can understand for your average rugby supporter who watches because it's our nation, why would you really be bothered, I suppose?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting roundup.
And especially with the low quality, well, hopefully Australia prove us wrong and it's a high quality game.
And you know what, for my word in the studio, I promise I'll throw an eye over the match.
Throw an eye, you're not going to watch it.
Oh, I'm doing my thesis right now. I'm like a shell of a person.
I think that is exactly where we wrap it up on thesis. But this has been Word on the Street, and we hope you enjoyed it, and we can't wait to chat to you next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!